welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to my what a wonderful world. I see babies cry. Yes.
Toy Story.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Three Wise DMs with the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave. And obviously, everyone knows what song that is. But, do either Tony or Chris know what version I was utilizing?
Well, it was not the Louis Armstrong version there.
You what are you talking about?
So it's some kind of country version of it or something, or country-tinged version of it, I believe.
Tony, any guess?
No, I dipped back to actually Toy Story. I'm like, it's a theme from there. Who was that?
No. It was the first single off the posthumous release of Joey Ramone, Don't Worry About Me. His first single was Wonderful World. And if people haven't heard it, go check it out, because it's a ripping version, dude. Daniel Ray plays on the guitar. It's great. Marky Ramone's playing on the drums, I think, again. So, yeah, really, really pretty rocking version of it. Pretty cool.
I feel like this was a pretty good opportunity for Peebo Bryson's Whole New World. But this was a suitable choice there, especially with all the facts.
I'm making a note of Peebo Bryson because this is the second time. So, you know, obviously, everyone, we are welcome back to Three Wise DMs. If you checked out our last episode on our brand new experiment of real-time world building with Three Wise DMs as we stumble and blunder through our different conversations of how are we building a world. And so we threw it out there, and we actually got some interesting engagement out there from you guys. So thank you again for getting back to us. So we had thrown out a vote. If you go back to listen to the last episode. Back in the days of yore. We threw it out, though. So, like, one of our big things we asked was, do we want to do a world that is Earth, but it's been apocalyptic. It's so far in the future that it is unrecognizable to us today, and it is rife for D&D type play. Or did we want a completely brand new world that probably is going to look a lot like Earth? And just before, no, I'm kidding. But, and we got a bunch of people voting back in, and pretty handily, people want a brand new world. So tonight we are going to be starting on this brand new world, and we're going to get a little bit deeper into some of this stuff. But again, guys, you can reach us with any questions or comments, especially about this episode or any of our episodes at threewisedms.com. Put it in the What's Your Problem field. You can also reach us at threewisedms@gmail.com. And definitely get with us on Facebook and Instagram, because that's where a lot of this stuff is happening in terms of this crowdsourcing of world building that we're currently doing for this wonderful world. So I'm going to stop talking now, and we're going to start talking about our brand new world.
So I was kind of thinking that we would want magic to have a presence, but still have a degree of mystique to it. But at the same time, perhaps make psychic abilities more prevalent, kind of somewhat Dark Sun. And with that, I want to introduce, you know, perhaps some, if we're doing unique things, character options that tie into that. Particularly the artificer, if we're doing a little bit of a sci-fi aspect. So there could be, opposed to where they use technology, this would be more like higher-end technology, like literally within the sci-fi range, and then perhaps discovering new technology, making that their thing, bring that back to life from this old mysterious civilization that is long lost on our own version of this world that we're forming now.
Well, I will say, if I'm going to DM anything in this brand new world, if we do build it, then I will need it to be somewhat low magic, because that's just my thing now, right?
Let the wizards in, Dave.
Dave, low magic. You got a new thing.
Low magic
now.
Unit.
No, I think, and it was like one of the things we started to get into last time. Obviously, like, I think the idea, the making magic special with the world makes a lot of sense for us with all the things we've been through. But one of the things we do is like, we're trying to create a setting here, right? We're trying to things, and we kind of got ahead of ourselves in the last episode and started to just try to spitball different things. But I mean, when you're thinking about it, like, how is it that the world wants to go together? I like the idea. So we have a world where technology is acting as magic or empowering these psionic powers. So there's definitely magic, but it's definitely more, it's the magic is the output, but the actual mechanism for it is a lot of technological stuff there. But then, like, in a world like that, like, what is that planet like? Like, what is the environment like there? Like, what is that planet? Is it a post-apocalyptic world? You know, the desolate and thing, is it full of life? Is it seas? Is it something else completely? Is it platforms on a, you know, or surrounding a gas giant or something like that? That gets a little bit hard sci-fi with that, right? Though it sounds really cool. I'm actually going to write that down. But, you know, those kind of things, like, if I'm living in this world, how is it like? Like, what is it like for me?
Yeah, so I like both of these things. And also, just to throw it out there, because we did get one comment that was really, really good from Alex Sinkowski. Alex, thanks for writing in. We appreciated it. But he said he really enjoyed the episode, but he was like, what's the context of this? Because we kind of just jumped into it. And we talked about this a little bit pre-cast, because it maybe didn't get across. But in essence, what we're doing is, this is a bit of an experiment in real time of what does it look like when you're thinking of, like, I want to create a brand new setting, right? And we're just kind of experimenting here. Now, we're going to build something out, and we're going to name it, and we're going to have, like, things that make it different for other settings. And it'll be kind of open for the 3WD community, right? Like, maybe we'll run stuff in it. Maybe we'll do an adventure in it after this. Maybe you guys will run stuff in it and get back to us as to, like, what's happening. And we're just kind of – it's a fun little experiment. But to go to both of your guys' points, though, I think this is good to start on. So we have kind of, like, we're going to start very high overview with two ideas here. And then we'll probably focus in a little bit near the end of the episode about some other stuff. But right now, Tony, your idea with magic, like, what is magic in this world? How does it happen? We talked about maybe bringing in psionics and things like that. And then, Chris, I think it dovetails into kind of what you were starting to talk about. And then, like, what are the environments of this world? And I think some of these things can play together. But let's start a little bit with the magic portion, because in D&D, that's kind of like what separates it from all other TTRPGs in a lot of ways, right? Is that it has all of this fantastical magic. Now, we've run into this point where you want to create magic being special. We've talked about this a lot. We make jokes about my low magic worlds, but we want it to be special. We don't want to limit what the players can do with their classes necessarily, but we want it to feel like you've achieved something. Like Chris in the Lord of the Rings campaign, that it's very specifically different, right? And it makes that setting feel very, very different because magic is so rare, you know, literally to classes. Like, you just can't be a mage class at all in LOTR. And that's obviously not where we're going, but let's talk a little. I like this idea where we're kind of like meeting in the middle of like this sci-fi magic, steampunky kind of thing where magic is tech that's come, or it's abilities that came maybe from tech or different races. But let's go into that a little bit more. Like, how would we want to make that special, you know, in this setting?
Well, I am thinking about keeping magic and technology divided. Like, there are two different schools, so to speak. Both can do things, both can take you to achieve goals and do cool things with the game mechanically, but their origins, like psionics, magic technology. You could be a wizard, you could be, I'm kind of envisioning this like as a frontier setting, desert-like, loose government, and you're out there, and perhaps you've inherited some magic abilities from the environment, a family member, something you found. There could be an origin story surrounding that. So these type of characters exist and you're out there, but you are inherently special versus, say, a setting like Greyhawk or Harry Potter, where there's literal colleges of wizards who are just at schools within the college and, you know, all of this. It's much more very specific and case by case versus just widespread, like, of course, like, you know, Greyhawk, like I was talking about, like, you know, they have sailing boats with magic and magical telegrams. Not quite. They probably lean more on technology on that, but it's out there. It's available. You can find magical items. People may have seen it. That's kind of where my head is.
That was like, and that gets me going here. So you think about it, like, is the technology that they're finding, is it old tech that they're rediscovering, or do they create this tech? And then you said something else too, which automatically put the Cursed Earth from Judge Dredd in my head, is maybe they've wandered out somewhere and gained some level of abilities. Are there areas in this planet where perhaps there are conditions that may cause you to gain some level of psionic ability or something like that? But the one thing that was like, is it, so this is tech from previous times, I'm finding it now, it seems like magic, or would we still have people that would be creating more and more technology, or would this all flow from the idea that you're uncovering the technology of the past, which to you is magic and psionics and so on?
I think that they should be able to discover technology from the past. I would like to kind of introduce perhaps some form of origin story where someone has magic, opposed to you're a wizard, these are your abilities, you've studied, somebody trained you. So this gift, this spark, however we want to sell it, was you didn't have it and something happened. Yeah, you wandered out. I mean, behind the curtain, we want them to go out and explore, go into these ruins, find these ruined places, go explore like a downed ship somewhere, go find a temple, go find what's left over of a city. And they can find crystals that imbue abilities.
No, and I think that's kind of where you're getting is that, like, the possibility is that there's places that people don't go and that these people are going to adventure into, and by adventuring into them, find older technology, maybe find some level of radiation from the power that they were using to power this old technology. Maybe it's what caused the, you know, the collapse of the previous species. But the idea that there's an area of the world that is known, and then there's this area of the world where it's a bit more like there's craziness out there. People are out there trying to find this old technology. People come back with it, right? And they'd be like, oh crap, you have this. So you have these groups of people, kind of like Scott's Adventure, right? It kind of starts to be that sort of idea where there's centralized towns, and then there's stuff like these caves where people, you know, adventurers go into that because they know that there's valuable old tech out there that they could find and different things, right? Like different relics of the past as stuff starts to get uncovered. That's probably getting a little deeper, but I like the idea that, you know, that idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's literally like kind of, I mean, that's going to be probably an archetype that we're going to be playing with, because that's so many stories that, like, the magics, aka technology of old, are being rediscovered because there was something in the past, an event that separated the cataclysm, the doom of Valeria, right? I mean, there's multiple iterations of this because it works, because it separates out these ages. I will float an idea though, because something Tony said, and I know he was not a big fan of Noah's Ark coming to Earth, which I originally had floated, right? In essence, that like the D&D world species have like, in essence, colony ship. But if our brand new world, which doesn't have to be Earth, can do stuff now, so now we can have tech from earlier times, some age before that would allow artificers and things like that to find this or even to discover it again. But then there is something in the world itself. I mean, obviously in Faerun and the Forgotten Realms and stuff, it's the weave, you know? So this idea that like there's just magic is like it's an energy that people can tap into. Maybe it's from the planet itself in some fashion, right? Chris, you were saying some radiation. And then it has all of the species and monsters and creatures and animals of D&D. And then what if in ages past, a colony ship crashed, but the colony ship was an Earth colony ship, and that's how humans came to this world. So you can still have humans just be humans, and they come and crash in some way in ages past too. This, I know I keep like putting this in there, but
you are shoehorning in the colony ship here. Perhaps the colony ship went by Earth on the way to the planet.
I'm throwing it out there. But the idea of how magic could be imbued in the world, and then people could tap into it. Like if humans were discovered a new region of space, it might have different properties. You know, think like Superman with like the yellow sun kind of thing, you know?
I would say we don't have to really even nail that down right now. I mean, it sounds like part of the adventure is going to be discovering what happened previously to the world. This is like their second iteration of life.
Yeah.
Let's keep that, you know, somewhere for them to find rather than drop it out.
Sure. But so just to kind of like to move on to the next point with the environment and stuff. But like with the magic, like what are we thinking? How do we make it special in that way?
That's an excellent question. I would start with some character options, perhaps some feats that tie into the environment that allow you to do unique things. You know me, I love messing with elemental magic. Perhaps you could do some dabbling, some low-key multi-classing feats that are different. Perhaps some things with technology. You know, but I'm just saying that in general with character creation, because in this way, like with my Viking campaign, all the characters felt like Vikings. You're like, this is a Viking character. This is not, I'm a fighter with a Viking flavor. All these guys were very specifically Viking characters. And that's what I would kind of want to reproduce in this world we're trying to create.
Yeah. But I mean, we could think even too with magic as well. Like, is there quote unquote arcane magic and then tech magic and then divine magic? Or is there something of they're all kind of the same thing? Or maybe is magic coming from the beings, quote unquote gods, that surround this world or imbue it, right? Like, or is it just like we're just going to go with, well, there's arcane and there's divine and what I mean?
I think if we lean into what the idea is, number one, magic should be somewhat scarce by the auspices of what we're talking about here. It's by finding old technology. So somebody in town may come back and may have some abilities and stuff like that, but finding it would be something you do over time. I would do something even possibly as extreme as knocking out the wizard class. I think to Tony's point, stuff like Artificer or Sorcerer fits really nice, because Sorcerer is something I've gone out to the...
They didn't learn it.
I'm going to keep calling it the Cursed Earth until Judge shows up and makes me stop. But I've gone out there and I've come back and now I'm a little different. You know, maybe you could tweak the subclasses to be more specific to your world. Like to Tony's point, to get to that flavor. But you get that idea of I'm coming back and I'm changed, or I'm an artificer and I'm using this old technology in a very magic way.
Well, hell. I mean, that is a bold choice that will make the setting very different in this world, is that if we just say we slice out that wizard class and magic is only accessible, like if we're talking about the D&D classes, magic is accessible through these other routes, but not through like the usual wizard class. I mean, that's definitely...
You're not studying a spell book for these things, right?
Yeah.
You're not slinging spells. You're using tech, or you're using some
ability
that you gain. Yeah. You know, third arm that you grew
up because
you
went out to radiation.
Not the third arm.
Bards, clerics, warlocks, rangers, sorcerers, artificers, all druids, all play into the idea more that you can, like, either you're gaining power that is imbued in this world in some fashion, in the rocks and the trees and stuff, or it's through other forces, whether it might be pact magic or it might be like Chris, you were saying with like sorcerers, where you just like are, you know, thing, or like bards, they're discovering this through like through the music, the great song, or something.
They're playing
like
an electric guitar for the first time, right? They discovered Eddie Van Halen's guitar, and all of a sudden, the people are like, "Whoa!" They're mystified.
Well, again, it's not Earth, but all right, good. So that gives us a good start with the magic thing. So yeah, so I mean, big bold choice. We're slicing out the mage class. I think that's actually not a bad call at all. That makes it very interesting. So Chris, to get like, and this kind of now dovetails into this because we're starting to talk about like our magic in this world, in a big chunk of it is coming somehow from the world, right? Tony, you liked elemental magic. I've played a lot with that, pretty much with both your characters, strangely, both Hawk and Sir William. Kind of in the end, I was like, yeah, you're with Mother Earth, the end. So
it
just worked out that way, right? Yeah. But yeah, like the environment of this world. Yeah, I for me, and Chris, you could kind of start this off because it was you had kind of thrown it out there. But I like the idea that it's not like this mono thing, like Arrakis or Waterworld, where it's like this, like, oh, it's only like the George Lucas world, right? Oh, well, that's just a forest world. That's just a, like, you know, so, yeah.
Obviously, there's going to be areas that are areas where these disasters or this technology has happened, whether or not they're desolate or not. You go out to areas near Chernobyl, there's still, I mean, I don't go there, but I watch the TVs where they go there, right? And there's still trees growing and stuff like that. So you could still have much of the same world. You could have a temperate climate, right? There's areas that like we talk about, like New York City or something, there's an area that's well developed in there and stuff like that. But then there's an area that's this whole expanse that is, it's undiscovered, right? People go out there, but it's like it was like what the West was before they actually went West, yeah. Right? Before Lewis and Clark are going out there. It's like a D&D adventure kind of thing. Luckily, I mean, they probably weren't encountering radiation, but maybe a little bit, right? But it was, I think that kind of idea. So if we're going to go with the idea, it's a temperate world, so there's some level of seasons, or we just want to have different different terrain types, like, you know, we want to have some, you know, rocky areas, some forest areas, mountains, deserts.
I think this actually floats pretty well into kind of what Tony was talking about a little bit too, precast. So we've done some bigger, higher overview stuff, but like, let's start to focus in now, because when we're world building, we're not building the globe, right? I mean, like, you could. You don't have to, though. So we have some big, broad strokes, and we'll be able to fill in things as we start to get in. But let's kind of bring it in now. Let's kind of like microscope into, let's start now in the, you know, the adventure area, right? Like, I don't know what we want to call it, right? But like, let's bring it down. Like, where are we on this new world? Which, again, guys, throw out. We haven't even come close to talking about it, but throw out some names. I know Dr. DM got to us with some names, so we're starting a list.
And I like his names too. So
both of those were really good. Yeah, both of those were really good. So throw out some names too. Whatever you guys think, but you know.
I don't know. I was waiting for my turn. I thought of Amaron. But you know, I'm not like,
we haven't even started naming it yet. Yeah.
But I'm kind of thinking this whole scenario is gonna be like a Red Dead Redemption meets magic and sci-fi, because in that kind of open world city situation, yeah, you had desert, you had forest, you had swamps, you had mountains with snow. Yeah, I don't really like the setting where it's you're in the one setting. That is a rough thing to sell it perpetually. Like, or I ran into trouble selling the Underdark. I'm like, you know what's going on here? It's dark and you're in caves. You can lock in, and because that's what you're doing for the next 16 games. But as far as where we're starting, I wouldn't develop more than you got your starting town and the area around the town, and then what the next two points in the map are, just kind of tease them out. We even need to have that ready. I mean, really, like, they're going to explore some areas in between those points. Like, that's our starting ground.
I was thinking, too, like, so we were talking about a little bit about, so this world, so there's going to be a civilization here, right? There's going to be some area where there's going to be people that congregate, right? Basically beyond these areas. It's probably, if we think about how people generally do, it's probably going to be coastal, right? Most of the cities start, they're going to need some way to be able to do any kind of commerce or travel that they do, stuff like that. It could be a small town. To Tony's point, we start small. You have that town, whatever we call it. I don't have a name, damn it, on the spot here, but like, no, we're called coastal town. it's a little bit more token-esque, but it's I think Coast if you start City. With that, like you have a main right there would be a main seat of where people would be in this world, right? For something, or would they be more spread out?
Let's focus in. I like, and I think we all kind of generally gelled around this concept, but I like it too because it does, one, it's a cool setting. Two, it propagates adventure, right? Because if we make it to Manhattan, Metropolis, Neverwinter.
I know where you're going with this.
The biggest city in the Forgotten Realms. What the hell am I can't even think of it right now. What the hell? Waterdeep. Thank you. Jesus.
That's why I'm here.
I just lost my some DM cred. So, but yeah, like those are cool. Cities are cool and there's adventure there, but real propagating adventure is when it's a lot of undiscovered stuff. So Chris, you had said this, Tony, you put towards it, like, frontier town, right? We're thinking Wild Westy in a way, right? Especially with our, kind of we're meeting, like, a sci-fi fantasy kind of thing, Red Dead Redemption, Tony, you had said. So let's think about this area, right? So when you guys were talking about that, I'm thinking, like, Chris, you were talking environment, temperate things. So let's think, like, the West, right? Like, we're getting away from, like, the civilized East Coast stuff, and that probably exists. There's probably kingdoms or city states out there, but like we're out in the frontier. What does this look like?
I'm thinking loose towns. The security on there is sketchy. There's threats. There's a degree of not survival like you would Dark Sun, where you're tracking your water rations, like your life literally depends upon it, because it would. But the ruling powers are not here. Perhaps if you cause enough trouble, you could draw some aspects of that out here. But really, this is a lot of lawlessness. You trying to, is really a place where you can cut your teeth, do your own things, and not have, the king and the king's guard and court, any of those aspects to the environment.
I mean, it's interesting. I worry like it would be like it's like Mos Eisley or something like that. Like it's a very much like a shady area. Like I wouldn't necessarily move there with my family or anything like that. I may travel to a town like that because I'm looking for adventure, but would I settle down somewhere? Like what would I do in a town like that? Like, right. Like those towns that exist out on the edge outside of the civilized areas, the sort of more rural frontier towns, like what are they doing out there?
So, yeah. So I'm thinking the first thing that popped into my mind is Tombstone. Right. So Tombstone is, be as big as San Francisco in a year. And, like it's like a boom town. Right. So things move in because people are discovering stuff. So like, Chris, you had mentioned Scott's adventure. So the Wizard Washburn had kind of started us on a we talked a little about it on one of the episodes. But this idea that like the old caverns and dwarven ruins that were discovered when the mountain cracked open, boom towns came in because there's stuff in there and it's worth stuff. So community is going to congregate around there, but not in the same way as a large city state, right? It's not going to be Manhattan, but Tombstone was a big town. It had all the stuff. But it also was out there kind of in a little bit of the further reaches of things.
No, and I think that leads to Tony, and I think that would be the perfect sort of lead in is so you're out in these towns, but the reason that you're out in these towns is because old tech and stuff has started to be discovered for all these things, right? Like the whole underlying mystery is like I'm going out to like, right, like if I'm going to go to this town, if I'm going to bring my family here, I'm bringing it here because I think I can strike it rich with some old tech over the hill here and stuff like that, right? And to your point, it's like Tombstone. So there's a sheriff there, but it's a self-contained town because the distance between that and the thing, you may occasionally get representatives from a larger government, but you're kind of a self-contained thing. And it's a, you know, to your point, it's a boom town. So everyone is showing up. All the businesses there are set to cater to people that are going to adventure out into the wastes, the cursed earth. Thank you. Once again, that's three times. You know, venture out there, become change, find old tech or something. I think that's a really cool way is that you'd have a group of those things that you could go through, right? You would encounter different boom towns where they had uncovered a, you know, pieces of a ship or other things, right? Like they weren't sure what it was. So
just so I know, Chris, when I receive it, who will I be receiving the cease and desist order from? Like, who was the writer of Judge Dredd? Like, who should I be waiting to hear?
I'm trying to think what the comic that came out with it. They probably would appreciate it. I really love the, I would say I love the Carl Urban movie. That was great. The Stallone movie wasn't as good, but the Carl Urban movie was much better.
The Carl Urban movie was great. I really enjoyed that one. Yeah.
Yeah, scream, I am the law.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I'm kind of into this, and I want to see what you guys think, because, I mean, nothing creates a setting better than having it be a full-on setting. Do we want to lean into a lot of the Western, rugged cowboy-ish, sheriff kind of vibe, but in a fantasy, sci-fi-ish way? Like, I think that that's actually kind of cool. Like, some of the first things that come to mind, obviously Tombstone and stuff, but like I'm thinking like the Gunslinger, you know, like this kind of westerny thing, but it's still different, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it, you know.
You're not going between worlds, and do they have a
ship?
No. You know, these are all questions. Like, what kind
of like we're in the world, but I'm feeling very western, you know. Cowboy westerny kind of vibe, a little kind of vibe, but like setting wise.
I think Chris nailed it.
I'm saying, do we want to lean into that then, like the hard pan and stuff like that? Do we want it to be more of a rugged environment than a generalized environment? Obviously, you could always adventure out and there'll be other places, but our main area there, that's going to be more like a sandy hard pan. Like around Tombstone, around any of those areas.
Yes. But you still have high desert there.
You have all the vegetation. Things around it, but that's where they're doing their stuff. That's how they're living.
I like it. I like it myself.
So what I was saying that Chris nailed was that what would these people be doing out here? Well, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of that California gold rush vibe. Like, you can get out there, find some old tech, strike it rich. You're not looking for gold. Maybe you're looking for magic. Maybe you're looking for technology or answers. Yes. Like,
well, that's what created Tombstone. It was a silver town. There was tons of silver found, and it became a boom town. So, yeah. But just the overall vibe, I really like, because there's not a lot of westerny vibe stuff in the D&D world. I mean, there's some, but, like, there's not a lot, you know? I'm just thinking, like, the Gunslinger class that they kind of, like, Matt Mercer originally came out with, and they kind of hodgepodge stuff together. I feel like we got a whole new Gunslinger class coming.
You could definitely include something like that in a world like this. You could find a way to make it suitable with that. I mean, obviously, then you probably have the authorities would be carrying around guns, maybe even possibly better ones, but yeah.
They have both. Sure. Guns, swords, magic, it's all on the table. And even throwing a little bit of Stephen King in there with the Dark Tower.
This is a brand new world.
I think it's really cool because it's an area that's rife for adventure, whether it's...
It creates adventure by itself.
I'm saying there's going to be people there that are going to want to take what I have. There's going to be people that want to get out there ahead of me. Like, there's people that are going to want to send me out there to do things, right, along with my natural, you know, want to go out and discover these things. So I think that it's a very good setting for, especially as an initial place to kick off adventure, because it's a place that sort of generates that.
Especially like a lot of the culture of this Western kind of thing came from the ancient texts that they found on the colony ship from.
Found some Louis L'Amour novels, and all of a sudden it's the
Louis L'Amour, maybe. Yeah. All right. So, I hate to do it now because we're like getting into some good stuff, but we are getting close to this time for some final thoughts. There's still a couple things we were going to cover in this episode, but I think we actually got some really good stuff done. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of polls for you guys right now, necessarily. Keep on us on Facebook to see if we put one out there. But again, I want to hear names of this world. I'd love to hear names of this new weird sci-fi arcane divine magic tombstone thing that we're kind of building out. Yeah, and just overall comments of like what we're thinking, like, you know, cutting out the wizard class and things like that. I'm going to stop talking with this right now so the listeners can actually hear some final thoughts from all of us.
So I like the idea of loose towns and the opportunity to make it rich and all these undiscovered areas. Perhaps traveling around is what imbued your characters at the beginning with that origin story of their magic or set them off down this path. I think that it kind of like adds to a flavor of uniqueness we should create as we kind of dig deeper feats and aspects with the character classes that make them special to the environment. So you could say this character is from this world, from this setting, and it sets them apart from others.
Yeah, no, and I think the one good thing we did here, and we were glossing around it a little bit last time, is you need a good elevator pitch for your world, right? Like we were talking about, I don't need to create the globe, but there should be a, right, like how we said, okay, it's like Tombstone, but it's old tech, and they're finding in these undiscovered areas. I don't have to create the undiscovered areas. I don't even have to flesh out Tombstone yet, but that is automatically something that not only I can share with my players when I want to bring them in the world and they're like, oh, cool, I'm going to create a gunslinger or whatever classes you may try to include in there. But it lets them start to feel like they're part of it. Oh, wow, this is a little bit different than these other worlds that I'm in, right? Like, it's not just the next, it's not Kryn part two. It's like something that's completely different from that, right? Like, it's something that has its own thing. So I think that's what I think is when you're trying to think about a world, think about it in a, you should have a good elevator pitch for it, and then you can build everything around it, but it should be the kind of elevator pitch where I could talk to my buddy and be like, hey, I had an idea for a world where blah 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 blah, and he's like, oh damn, I want to be on that campaign when you get that ready. Like, those, I think that lets you start to really start to add things to it, like we're doing now, and start to add little details to it.
Yeah, and I pretty much knew there wasn't, but I wanted to make sure so I don't sound like a complete moron who doesn't know that Waterdeep is the largest city in the Forgotten Realms. But I looked up, and there is no official Western setting in D&D or something like that. There's really not. It doesn't.
There's deserts, but yeah.
But it doesn't exist in the same way. So I really think this is something that's really fun because I think it fills something that a lot of people would want. So we went over how to make it special, and Tony brought up the idea of magic, like how are we going to change magic? And then we went into the environment. I think one of the biggest things we did here was we cut out the whole class of wizard. I think that really changes a lot for this, and that the world itself is imbued with some kind of magic, which answers some of the other classes that draw more from like elemental magic and things like that, or sorcerers or warlocks even. And it also, we're kind of getting to this cool like sci-fi-y thing where tech is out there of some type that also gives us some level of magic. So it just changes the way in which, instead I'm just, you know, taking these spells each level as we go up, you know, it gives a bit more beef to that. And yeah, and I really like this idea of kind of like Tombstone in a weird sci-fi D&D thing. I know other people have probably come up with this kind of thing, but we would love to hear from you what your thoughts are so far. We definitely nailed down some more stuff. I will be interested in starting to get into some of like, what does divine magic look like in this world? Does that exist in the same way? It's just starting to create a lot more questions. So like I said at the top of the episode, reach out to us. This is a community-based experiment of let's build a world together. Let's see what happens. Now, obviously, we're doing a lot of it on here, and you guys can't really join in the conversation except after the fact. But We still take it very seriously. So reach out to us at 3wisedms.com. Put it in the What's Your Problem field. Reach out to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com. And like I said a couple times, check us out on Facebook and Instagram. A lot of the conversations are happening on there as well. These last couple episodes have obviously not been listener questions, but that is our bread and butter. We are DMs with problems. We love to help DMs with problems. So if you have any problems, questions, issues with your game, your table, something you're hoping to run or have been running, reach out to us on those same ones, 3wisedms.com, 3wisedms@gmail, Facebook, Instagram. We love to take listener questions. And that's going to be it for us this week. Oh, hold on a second, though.
You're exploring the desert and the wastelands, then you're going to need new dice.
Oh, my God, dice, oh, yeah. Tony, you're right.
It's a great way to throw your dice out. It can show you where your cities are in your world. You just throw out a handful
of
dice,
absolutely.
Too.
Yeah, if anybody hasn't, go Google it, and you can see how it's done. It's a fun way to modularly create your world with D20s mean this, D4s mean this, D6s mean that. Can be a fun way to craft a world. Maybe we'll do that live on an episode that you can't see, but we'll tell you about it, take pictures. But go to our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. Put in the code 3WISEDMS10. That's the number 3WISEDMS, the number 10. You get 10% off your order. And that is going to be it for us this week. And as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you liked what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time, 3 Wise Deals.